This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones, what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." And when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus said to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For the nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Belonging and buildings. The temple of Jerusalem was truly a sight to behold. The descriptions of it in our scripture border on the mystical. It is a place of mystery and majesty. Going back to the days of King Solomon, in our Wednesday evening worship service, we read a different set of scriptures, and we've been reading them from the narrative lectionary, which moves us through the Bible as a story, as a whole. And a couple weeks ago, we had a passage on Solomon building the temple. When Solomon built the temple, he built it with cedar walls and beams. When he built the temple, he built it magnificently huge. It was a sight to behold, an architectural marvel, a feat of engineering. And inside the temple, as you would move in through the concentric courtyards into the building itself, inside you would come, and as you came in, such incense would hit your nostrils that you might find it difficult to breathe. It was a holy place, sacred and set apart, a place where God's glory was said to rest. God's glory would rest there above the Ark of the Covenant, holding the stone tablets that had the Ten Commandments carved into them, as well as a bit of manna and Aaron's staff. It was a connection to the people's history, and it was a connection to God. The temple was an amazing structure. And when it was torn down by the Babylonians after Jerusalem was sacked, the people were broken. How could they worship without this point of connection? Ezra and Nehemiah would rebuild the temple. The people would come back. It would get rebuilt in time. And here, King Herod, the builder, would improve upon the temple, adding new embellishments, making it this feat of architecture and engineering again. And it became even bigger even than Solomon's temple. It was an enormous structure, one of mystery and majesty, where the presence of God was said to rest behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, where incense burned and sacrifices took place day by day. It had been under construction for decades. It's sort of reconstruction time. And as the disciples come to this temple, maybe some of them coming for the first time, having been just poor rural folk, perhaps not able to afford the trip down to Jerusalem from Galilee, they come into the temple, seeing a building that even if they had seen, they've only seen it a few times at special holidays, coming into the building, and they are wowed. Wow. 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 This last week, we had some visitors here in our building from the National Youth Gathering that's going to be taking place here in the Twin Cities next summer. And our building has been offered up as a site to host one of the days of that gathering for some of the synods that will be coming from around the country. Over 3 days next summer, whole synods of youth, numbering in, maybe as much as 100, maybe as many as 200, coming and being here to learn and to worship and to be in our building. Leaders from the National Youth Gathering came here for a tour so they could start to get a feel for the place and look around and see and imagine where things could be and plan for this occasion next summer, an occasion which you'll have an opportunity to be a part of and volunteer for if you want, and you can come and see. And Jane Bishop, our property manager, was walking them around the building. And as she told it, in the week since, they would walk in and they would go, wow. They walked into our sanctuary and they go, wow. And they saw a room downstairs that can be opened up, that big orange room downstairs where all of our youth activities can happen. And they go, wow. They saw our West Chapel and they said, wow. And they looked out at our great grounds in the front yard and imagined what that would be like in the summer and how the shade might be cool under the trees. And they said, wow. And our nice parking lot where big charter buses could park, wow. And our amphitheater and our flower gardens, wow. It was something to behold. They were wowed by our building. But I think they would have been even more wowed by the ministry that's taken place here in these last years. The story that I tell when I talk about Christ the King is not the story of a building. It's a story of what happens, what the people within it can do. The people within this building house the houseless. Through programs like Beacon's Families Moving Forward, a few times a year have dedicated themselves in the building and now outside of it during COVID to providing meals and shelter for families that are experiencing homelessness. Families of young parents with even younger children looking for a place to be safe, a place where they can rest their head, a place where they can get back on their feet again. Wow. Not only that, people in this congregation, members of this congregation, were a part of the effort in Bloomington that we called the Bloomington Housing Coalition, a group that organized with others around Bloomington to address the problems, some systematic problems in the structure of our housing policy here in our city. And working with the city and advocating at city council meetings and with the HRA, in doing public education sessions, we're able to bring about the passage of a new ordinance that put in place protections for people that are most at risk of being put out of shelter by the forces of gentrification and greed. We've also served meals out of this building, but serve meals as a community, financially supporting these meals that are served, supporting them through a ministry that opened our doors and welcomed anybody in who had hunger or need on Wednesday nights, serving as many as 250 people in a night. And even during the pandemic, when our doors shut, the meals and the feeding continued through the work of dedicated people, individuals, dedicating themselves and this community to being a place that provides for people in need, serving now 80, upwards of 90 takeout meals sometimes. It's a community that when our neighboring mosque, Dar al-Farouk, was bombed, showed up there on their lawn, showed up in a community effort to support and to say to them, this should not happen. This is not the way we treat our neighbors, that we are your neighbors, and therefore we love you, and you are welcome here in Bloomington. And this partnership with Dar al-Farouk has budded beyond just showing up in an event after a bombing, but has shown up in new partnerships that are continuing to form and work around the city, including a forthcoming multi-faith youth group that will bring together the youth of our cities and our faith communities for an opportunity to meet one another as people of faith for the works of service and fellowship. Wow. Not only this, not only partnering with ministries here in Bloomington, but we have partnerships and have valued partnerships across the world. In China, and in South Africa, and in Jerusalem, and around the world, with members having traveled from this community down to visit these places of ministry, some of you multiple times. Some of you know the places that Pastor Philip Knutson will talk about because you've seen them with your own eyes and been there and shown up. We partner with Veep and grow hundreds of pounds of food out of our garden. Wow. And you partner to be a place that's a beacon of help and hope for people in need in our community. Through supporting the pastor's discretionary fund, we are one of the few churches in Bloomington where people are able to find emergency help when they need it most. I know because all the other pastors recommend that people call here. And I get those calls. And I'm able to respond because of the work and the support that you have done and the way that you care for the people most in need. When you give to this community, when you support this community of faith with your finances and with your presence and with your volunteering, there's a portion of it all that goes to the building. Like we're asking your help in the community bill that repaved 86th Street. But it's not about the pavement on the street. Nor is it about the light that comes down from the electricity bill. Or even the great, wonderful, wowing grounds and sanctuary and rooms that we have. When you give, it's not the building that's important. When you, the individual, give to you, the people of Christ the King, you help create a place of relationship and belonging that is a beacon of community and faith for this whole city. And we are becoming known for being that place. We have been known for that place, and we are known for that place now as a community that cares, as a community that welcomes, as a community that really does the hard work of ministry. When Jesus brings his disciples to the temple, his disciples are wowed by the building. They're wowed by the great stones, the filigree on the work of art that there's. But Jesus knows the history of that place too. That the builder, King Herod, was King Herod the Great, was King Herod who ruled for decades, who was the king when Jesus himself was born. We'll be getting to that story here as Christmas comes. But as you remember, King Herod the Builder was also King Herod the Murderer, the one who killed his family so he would not have rivals for his throne. The one who was threatened and would call out for the murder of children. The one who built great buildings, absolutely. built them because he wanted to be seen as a ruler in his own right within the Empire of Rome, and thought that these great and magnificent buildings and the public works that he was doing would help his people find a place there in this new empire and the majesty of it. But Jesus knew something different. Knew that this building and all the work that went into it would fall. Tear this temple down. It will be torn down. The words show up at Jesus' trial. People say that he said, tear this temple down and he'll rebuild it in 3 days. He said this temple's going to fall. How dare he speak against the building? But Jesus knew then what we can know now. The temple of belonging to which we belong is not a building, but a body. And just as Jesus was talking about his own body that would raise up in 3 days from the power of and be free from the power of death and the grave, that just as Jesus was speaking about his body, which is the temple, that the body of Christ is the temple in which we find belonging. In which we find a seat at the table, a place where we are fed and nourished in life, a place to share life, a people to share life with, and a people from whom we can find guidance and provide guidance to find the richness and the true things of life, the meaning of it all that we find in love that we share for one another. And the hope that we have as we discover the truth of life eternal is in this wonderful building that is the body of Christ. Not the physical structure, but the spiritual body of Christ to which we belong, that we find that real, deep belonging. And when you support this church, this ministry, this faith community, with your gifts, when you take your seat at the table and say, this is my community and I want to see it continue and I want to support what it's doing and I want to be a part of it, you not only take your own seat at the table, but you provide a place and an opportunity for belonging for so many others. Others who come in need, in want, in hope. That maybe, just maybe, there might be a place that can help me find shelter or a meal or care or welcome or hope. Maybe, just maybe, it might be Christ the King. Together with all of us, it will be. Amen.